realfaith.org.au.
I never broken a bone in my life, you know. I never had a cast or nothing on, and for that to happen to me, you know, it's like I broke all the bones in my body and did all my internal organs all at one time. But you know, coming around that corner, hitting that metal guardrail and wrapping my body around, that changed my life upside down, having that motorcycle accident.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
A few years ago, Joel Tuita was in a horrific motorcycle accident. His heart stopped twice, and he had to be revived. Miraculously, he survived and has gone on to make hip-hop music for the Lord and continue his involvement in ministry. Joel Tuita, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate your time. Thanks, Eric.
Glad to have you with us, and you're joining us from the studios there in Brisbane.
Yes.
Glad to have you on the program to tell your story. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Tell us about your childhood, some of the experiences you had that really shaped your life.
Yeah, well, for me, I first grew up in a Christian home. You know, my mom and dad were believers of Christ and Pacific Islanders and, you know, living here in Australia. And, you know, they ended up starting a church and becoming pastors of a church called Ark of God in Sydney. And, you know, for us, that was a lifestyle that we're living and, you know, things were great. And when I was, 11 years old, my parents, broke up and, our church fell apart. And as a young Christian kid that was growing up in church, never really exposed to, you know, worldly music or worldly movies, I was exposed to this big bad world that, I wanted to try everything And that's what I did. You know, I was hurt because of what happened with my parents. And
I was going to ask you, that must have been really a hard adjustment and rocked your world because, you know, all you knew was being in the church.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden that all disappeared when your parents' marriage split up.
Yeah. So that really rocked us hard because as an 11-year-old, you know, you just think everything's fine, you know, growing up, you know, your parents provide for you, roof over your head and everything's sweet and you got your brothers and sisters there with you. And all of a sudden, you're being pulled into an office and told to choose between your mom and your dad.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, being the last one to pick as well was really hard to be in that situation.
Yeah.
And you know, so that really, that broke my heart, you know, and it broke my brother and my sister's heart as well. And you know, it's like we had to be born again into, you know, a world that was completely different than what happened before. And, you know, it took a lot of time to heal, but at the same time, that also made me grow up really quick, because of going out to that world and trying things like drugs and alcohol and get involved in gangs and doing the wrong things and, I guess.
So, had you been a Christian? Had you put your faith in Jesus when you were raised in the church?
Yeah, well, you know, as a pastor's kid, you definitely, for one, they're under a lot of pressure. And you know, just because you're a pastor's kid doesn't mean that you're a good kid. But for me, I knew about the works of God. I knew about going to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I knew about going to music practice, going to all the prayer meetings, and serving God, but I didn't know God intimately. I didn't know Him and have an actual relationship with Him. And, you know, that for me was something that I didn't find until just a few years ago. So just because you're in a church and just because you're dressed well doesn't mean that you are well.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that you know God.
It sounds like you knew how to play the role.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And act it out.
Yeah.
But you didn't know God personally.
No, not at all.
So you didn't have that solid foundation for when your whole world got rocked, that your relationship with God would continue. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, we always prayed to God. So that was always a custom to pray to God when we were going through things that were tough and going through things that were bad. But at the same time, I didn't know God. You know, I didn't have a relationship with God. I just went to him when I needed stuff. You know, I didn't know that he needed me or he wanted me to have a relationship with him. And, you know, I was hurt and I was a kid in this big world and I tried everything. You know, by that New Year's Eve when I was 11 years old, my mom had to send out my uncles to look for me in Sydney because I was out drinking and partying and doing all of this crazy stuff. I was stoned off my head. I remember it. And, you know, like for me, that was a complete turnaround from, you know, being in church and going to church every Sunday and doing the right things. And only a few months later, being out there drunk and I was with gangbangers, you know, I was with a gang in Sydney and that's who I was getting smashed up with, you know. So by that time, I just flipped, everything flipped upside down and I went, so far the wrong way and I kept running that way. You know, I was trying to, I just wanted approval. I think that's what I really wanted. I wanted that love again. I wanted my family back. And, and because it wasn't there in my actual family, I was looking for it in a family in the world. And, you know, I kept on trying to chase that down. And, you know, that just put me in a state of hurt and pain and trying to be somebody I wasn't.
And you mentioned that you had to make a decision between your mother and your father. Is that right?
Yeah. And it was really hard because my brother went first and he chose my mom. My sister went second. She chose my mom. And me being the last one was looking at my dad and I felt sorry for him. So I went with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that for my brother and sister, we were always together every single day. It was the tightest, you know.
I'm just thinking, what a terrible decision for an 11-year-old to have to make.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing to do. You know, was the hardest thing to do. But at the same time, that was something that really cut me deep, you know. That wound took a lot of years to heal, a very long time to heal.
So you, as you mentioned, you had a wound and then you also mentioned your life kind of went downhill into being with gangs and drugs.
Yeah.
But eventually, fast forwarding, you met somebody named Steve Beasel at the place where you worked. Is that right?
Yeah. So, Steve, before then, you know, just touching quickly on it, my life was crazy. Like I was always trying to, you know, be somebody I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was bouncing and you know, working for drug dealers on the side and eventually things like kind of hit rock bottom. And I knew that none of those friends that were around me were my true friends. So I had to make a decision and a choice to change my life. And that's what I did. I ended up, I got a job with, a company called Secure Corp and just worked my way from bottom all the way to the top. And, I cut off all the old lifestyle that I was involved in. And, when I got to the top, Steve took a manager's position where he came and worked with me. And, I remember my first day, I seen him and we was in the lift and, I seen a bracelet which had a cross on it. And, Steve's not a small guy. He's like 6'6" and, you know, at the time it was 120 kilos. So yeah, he was a big boy. And, you know, like seeing that, I just said to him, you know, what's that mean to you? You know, who are you? You know, and, he said, you know, I'm a Christian and, you know, and I said, yeah, I know your type, you know, and, you know, I didn't like Christians. I didn't like,
Is that because of your past in the church and all that?
Well, what happened to me when I was 16, I tried to go back to church and, when I went back to church, I was smoking, I was drinking, I was doing some bad things and I got condemned, for doing those things. And I was told to hide that stuff. And then, we've been evicted many times from home. And one time we got evicted again from home and we were kicked out onto the streets. I had nowhere to go, nothing, to eat or anything. And, you know, I turned to my church family and pretty much got the door slammed shut on my face. So, you know, that put me in a state where stuff everybody in church and stuff all of these Christians that, you know, saying they're doing good, but they're not, you know. And that put me in a state of hurt and, you know, really crushed me again, and especially trying to come back to church and having that happen. And then when I seen Steve, I said the same thing to him, you know, like, okay, you're Christian. I understand that. I believe there is a God, but you keep your stuff to yourself. And he said to me one thing that just planted a seed so deep, and he said it wasn't about religion or, you know, the list of do's and don'ts or having rules and regulations, but it was about having a relationship with God. And that was the thing that made me think in my head, I've never, ever had a relationship with God.
Now, when I talked to Steve recently on the phone, he said that when he worked there and he met you, God told him, that's the reason why I'm here.
Yeah. He told me that on the first day, that same, not long after.
The first day? Wow.
Yeah. Not long after speaking about that, we walked up to a loading dock, and that's where he said, well, maybe, you know, this is it. This is God bringing us together.
How did that make you feel?
In my head, I was thinking like, yeah, this guy's loopy, you know, but, you know, like, I didn't fight back. I just, you know, kind of went, okay, you know, but, I think, yeah, that going back in time, going back to that moment was, you know, you can see God's hand upon my life. You can see how he sent a soldier on a mission to come and get me. And, and you know, I'm so grateful to God for what he's doing, for never giving up on me, even when I gave up on him and myself and every other Christian. You know, he never gave up on me, and he pursued that relationship with me.
Our guest today is hip-hop singer and youth ministry worker Joel Tuita, sharing his incredible journey. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll hear how Joel survived a horrific motorcycle accident and had a vision of Jesus after his heart stopped. That's coming up when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources, and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest today is hip-hop singer and youth ministry worker Joel Tuita, sharing his incredible journey. Before the break, we heard how Joel met his Christian friend Steve Beasel at the place that they both worked. Next, we'll find out how he eventually became involved in a thriving youth ministry with Steve. And we'll also hear about his life-changing motorcycle accident.
Yeah, well, Stevie told me that he was running a youth ministry, and you know, I basically said all the best to you. And,
you know, all best with that.
it was. I did say that. And after, you know, for about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months, Stevie, of consistently asking me to come to the youth group and just check it out. I bit the bullet and went down and I just said, well, you know, if this thing is real, I'm going to give it a try. You know, if this is meant to be, then, you know, I want this to be the time where I feel something different. Mm-hmm. And, after the service, you know, you get the altar call, and that was the time where, you know, basically said, you know, if you are real God, if this is where you want me or whatever, then just show me something different, you know, cause I was over churches and stuff, and I went up to the front, and, Pastor Warren Smith just rocked up and just, he laid his hands on my belly, and I just felt this warmth. Like, I felt it was like God's arms wrapping, you know, around me, and just having everything that was on me, that was weighing me down, lift off me in that moment. And, that was the life changing part. I just wanted more. And, you know, I just committed my life to God then and there. And I said, whatever you want, just have your way. And I wasn't going to be afraid. I wasn't going to be holding back no more. I wasn't going to, you know, fear men or try to live up to someone's approval or anything like that. I just jumped in, and that's what happened from there on in, and I just kept on wanting more, so I kept on coming back.
And then how much time passed from the time you came back to the Lord and became involved in ministry? How much time passed between that and then your motorcycle accident?
2 years. So,
oh, okay.
That was 2012. I came back, and 2 years after, you know, we're doing incredible things, going into schools, and I was rapping and, you know, going all over the place. And then, yeah, had the motorcycle accident on the way home after youth, and, yeah, that changed my life.
Okay, and typically when you tell your story, you say that you died twice.
Yeah. So,
not everybody can say that.
No, but to me, you know, like, I never broken a bone in my life. You know, I never had a cast or nothing on. And for that to happen to me, you know, it's like I broke all the bones in my body and did all my internal organs all at one time. But, you know, that changed my life massively, because coming around that corner, hitting that metal guardrail and wrapping my body around, that was a turning point for me in my life, in the way of living free and knowing the importance of life, and knowing how precious it is and how short it is as well.
And you had a vision of Jesus when you were off?
Yeah. So when I on impact, I blacked out. Shortly after I came back through, what happened was I looked up and seen everything spinning. I felt like really sharp pains in my chest, and I knew something was, you know, really wrong. And I tried to lift myself up. I somewhat straightened my body from out underneath the metal guardrail, and I tried to do a push-up. And when I went to do the push-up, my left arm gave way, and I fell. And when I looked at my left arm, it was wrapped around the wrong way.
Oh.
And I couldn't move my legs at all, and I didn't have any feeling down there. And I remember just screaming out to God and, you know, asking him to forgive me. And then I said the Lord's Prayer. After saying the Lord's Prayer, I spoke in tongues, but I said to God, you know, if this is my time, then let it be. Let's go home. You know, I've got nothing left to live for. Then take me away. And things just went dark. And at that moment, I believe that's when I flatlined.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having another part where I woke up, and I didn't like open my eyes, but I woke up and I was hearing the surgeons or doctors around me doing compressions and counting, and so hearing them bring me back to life as well, and then transporting me into the hospital. I don't remember anything after that, but what happened was it was an out of body experience. I don't know if you mm-hmm. ever heard of that before.
Yep,
but
yep.
You know, I was basically laying in my hospital bed, and
were you looking down at yourself?
Yeah, I was lifted up out of my body,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking down at myself. But when I was looking down at myself, I could see myself in the hospital bed, and I could see myself like with a white sheet on. And then I seen a godly figure on the side of my bed. And what he was doing was, it was putting something deep down in my heart. And I knew that inside. And he basically said to me that, you know, you'll know when you know, when you know, when you know that what it is, you know, but just not yet. And I didn't know what it was at that time. And the other encounter that I had was seeing Jesus at the foot of my bed. And he wasn't like praying for me or anything. Like, he was just sitting there, you know. And to me, I take that as him just, you know, comforting me and, mm-hmm. and being there with me, you know, and waiting for me to wake up. But later on down the track, I realized, because I didn't know what happened to me. I didn't know my injuries. And I think it was about 6 months after being released from hospital, I was in a school, and deep down inside me, that feeling came up of when I was back in hospital. And what that was God showing me what it was. And I believe he gave me a new heart, a brand new heart for his people, brand new heart to go out into schools, to go out into the highways, the byways, and share his love and share his testimony with his people out there, knowing that, you know, God is so real and the afterlife is real, and, you know, he wants to have a relationship with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I believe he did. And, you know, for my injuries, I actually broke both legs I broke my left arm. I crushed my diaphragm and pushed all my internal organs into my chest. And then I tore my aorta from my heart. So, wow. You know, a torn aorta, you know, if you don't know, it's your main blood vessel that runs through your body. And once that's pretty much torn, you're out. You know, you don't get to live and tell the story about how you survived.
Game over, huh?
Yeah, that is game over. So, but I didn't know anything about hospitals. I dropped out of school when I was 12 years old. I didn't know nothing about the human body.
You know about it now.
I totally do. You know, after 30 surgeries and, over 30 surgeries and, you know, you learn the ways of hospitals and also the procedures, you know, and what you got to do and what you got to go through and how you got to recover. So, things have really taught me a lot, you know, not only in hospital, but in life itself as well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're quickly running out of time, but we want you to share what God has put on your heart as far as ministry. And if you could give us one of your raps, your hip hop raps for us.
Yeah. No, that's cool. So basically, since coming out, we haven't wasted a minute of time, you know, coming out of the hospital. We've gone into schools, gone into prisons. We go into, you know, everywhere and anywhere we can go and share God's light there. And, I'm actually part of a ministry called Crosswords. And it's basically where faith meets hip hop. And we run the church and the youth detention center every single month. But it's also kind of like a paraministry to a church. So we go out, we catch them, but then we connect with the local youth pastors and get those kids or people involved with the local churches. So we're just out there fishing, bringing them back. And then, you know, but I'm still serving at our local church, Encounter Church, Logan. And
where Steve Beasel, who we mentioned earlier, he's the pastor there now?
Yeah. He's the senior pastor, at the Logan campus. And, you know, we just do community together. You know, we do church, we do family together. And, it's about loving and accepting people and letting God change them. You know, we know that when we try to change people, we do it from the outside in, but when God does it, he does it from the heart and then he does it from the inside out, you know?
That's right.
And, you got to be understanding of people's situations, and but at the same time, you just got to love people and let God change them.
That's right.
And we do a bit of rap, we do a bit of whatever, to be honest with you. Like, we got artists there, we got graffiti
and
artists.
And your wife sings with you?
Yeah, she sings. She writes her own songs, and she just loves God, loves Jesus with such a deep love. And, you know, he just works through her every single day. And you know, I'm so blessed. We got married 2 years ago, and we're expecting our first child in another 9 weeks. So,
wow, congratulations.
You know, yeah, this is a big, big step for me. But, you know, like we said at the beginning, you know, God's always got a plan and purpose for every single one of
us. That's right. So you got a rap for us?
Yeah, man. So we do a bit of slam poetry as well. So it's kind of like rap, slam poetry. But there's a little something like this. I came from the ghetto to be living my dream. I'm coming up from the underground, expressing my scene. It's like hard lives we live, people giving up kids, broken homes of peers, breaking down, have no fear. The key to success in this life is a passion, dream and a vision, just never giving, painting the picture with the lyrics that I'm spitting. Ain't an easy world that we live in, it's written to the north, south, east, west. Live in the mess, keep your head up, never hopeless. Pray to God and hope the best, even when the road seems out of focus. Focus, stand your ground, never frown, even when you're feeling down.
Thank you very much. Amen.
Praise God, man. You know, and see, that's the thing. We all got gifts. God's given us a gift, and I really believe that, you know, you can use that gift, you know, for God's kingdom.
Joel Tuita, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Eric. It's been a blessing. Thank you very much. God bless.
And if you'd like to learn more about Joel Tuita and his music, you can go to the website crosswords.com. That's crosswords, crosswerdz.com.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.